most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and off we go. What a night last night. The beard was back, and guess what? He got his ass handed to him.
That's right.
Right from Jump Street.
It was
that was pretty telling.
It was all Rockets. Now, Kevin Durant did not play. He was a healthy scratch. This is what happens when you decide, it's a back-to-back. It's just Houston. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this. They don't even have future all-stars and all-pro players like KPJ and Jalen Green. How can they possibly beat us, the potential favorites of the Eastern Conference? This is how. Maybe you've never heard of a Rookie of the Year candidate named Josh Christopher. Maybe you've never heard of a birthday boy, Josh Christopher, who doesn't miss ever. Maybe you haven't, and who has brand new 3-point range since he came back from, when you play Viper ball, you learn to shoot threes. Maybe you haven't heard of a player named Jayshon Tate, who is a rich man's Draymond Green. Maybe you've never heard of rich man's Draymond Green.
Well, very rich.
Maybe you've never heard of... Yeah, it means he's better than Draymond.
Okay, I got you.
And maybe you've never heard of a certain dominant two guard who just earned the nickname, two nicknames, Gary Bird and Gary Legend. Are the two nicknames that we heard,
you know,
yesterday. I don't know if Craig Ackerman, he coined it. I don't know if he invented it.
Well, yeah.
But he coined it during the broadcast. And when I heard Gary Bird, I just thought, this is the greatest nickname in history, in Houston history, or the second greatest. I'm trying to think of, you know, it's not the beard.
It's not the dream.
The dream is, the dream's a good nickname, but Gary Legend?
Gary Legend.
Gary Bird?
Good. Yeah.
With
good.
Two R's for
pretty
Garrison
good.
Matthews. He
pretty
beat
good.
Up James Harden yesterday. James tried to do one of those, let the ball roll down the court. And like a little, you know, like a white guard from small Lipscomb College in Tennessee, he dives on the floor after it, steals it from James Harden. And this is after he had gone up to try to punch on James Harden. James blocked it and got his arm, got fouled. He made both free throws. He went up and tried to flush on James.
To be fair, it's not that hard to steal a ball against James Harden, okay?
Yeah, but this was a hustle play where you had to dive on the ground to go get it.
Well, and James,
James did have six turnovers midway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's James.
But James did not look like, the effort level was very modest for James yesterday.
For 16, 3 for 12 from three, another 16 free throws. He hit 14 of them.
How many turnovers did he end up with?
He ended up with 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a JMO performance. We've seen those before.
8 assists, 8 turnovers. That's about James Harden.
We've seen that in Toyota Center, but Gary Bird just got after him. I mean, he hit threes, big threes in the fourth quarter. Once again, another game with the Rockets where he gets, I think every game he's played with the Rockets, he's had at least 3 threes. 7 consecutive games of 12 or more points for him. He has been an unbelievable find, and they mentioned, Ryan Hollins mentioned, Chuck Hayes. You know, Chuck's a big deal on the staff. Chuck, Rafael Stone, Matt Bullard, those are the three he mentioned. But finding a guy like Garrison Matthews, who was waived. That's how they got him. He was waived this year by, I want to say, Washington.
Washington.
Washington waived him. They picked him up, and I'm like, how are you waving this guy? He defends. He's athletic.
He shoots
the eyes out of the ball. Like, what is the problem with? How did this guy not have a team? I guess, but he's an athletic. He's got a little bit of an arm sleeve.
He's got
like a JJ Redick little shoulder sleeve.
So you can keep a guy if he's tatted up and white, but you get rid of a guy who's
and tries
white
to dunk
without
on
any
people?
Tats?
Well, he's an athletic white.
Oh, okay. One of those.
Yeah.
He's one of those.
He's on the ground white and an athletic white.
So, he's a coach.
Our black listeners, Hispanic listeners, we can say this because we're white.
Right. No. Absolutely.
We can call him a white.
Is he a coach's? He seems like a coach's kid diving on the floor like that.
He had diving on the floor after the ball coach's kid vibes, but he also had, I'm gonna yak it on James Harden down the baseline vibes, which is not, that's not the same as coach's kid vibes.
No, that's true. Oh, well, some coach's kids get, you know.
He has a little more swagger than coach's kid. Like, he's got a little walk.
Do we know who the coach of
Longer
Lipscomb
arms
is?
Than expected?
It might be his dad. We don't know. Is it Coach Matthews? Do we know?
I don't know. He's good.
Yeah, but why would... I know. What is the deal?
I don't know how he was
why
out
would
there?
Washington get rid of him?
You know who should have picked him up? The guy who... Daryl Morey should have absolutely... He should have been first in line to trade for him. But, you know, he shoots too well for a Daryl Morey team.
That's for sure.
You know, Daryl Morey, the guy who lives and dies by his musical, 3 is greater than 2. However, when it comes to getting three-point shooters, you'd rather have, like, Josh Smith and God, who was the other one? I always forget. The guy who would hit the side of the
backboard.
Corey Brewer. Side of the backboard Brewer.
Corey Brewer was the worst for a team that wants to shoot threes ever.
And Daryl brought him back twice. He had him twice.
Yeah.
And here's a guy like Gary Legend who's out there draining threes at a rate of over 40%. I don't know how he made it to the Rockets, honestly.
Honestly. No, the Rockets don't get guys like this. We don't want a guy. We're going to shoot threes, but we don't like guys who make them.
Can you imagine that he is? And now when I'm looking at the Rockets, and granted, look, Kevin Durant didn't play. That's still a playoff team without Kevin Durant. I think they didn't look like it yesterday, the Nets. But
no, they look bad.
They did not look like it. They didn't look great. But Steven Silas yesterday, after the game, he was interviewed. And this is Kevin Cooper, former director of media relations for the Houston Texans, had a tweet saying, you know, he took a lot of crap, Steven Silas, during a 15-game losing streak. I hope people keep that same energy now that he's, won 7 in a row and he's getting better as a coach as well. But for Steven Silas, hey, this has got to be a good feeling.
It's good when your hard work pays off and when you are fighting so hard to get out of the hole that we were in, and then slowly but surely your hard work starts to pay off and your ball movement, 23 assists, the ball movement, keys, good stuff for your teammates, and the spirit of our group is high. Like, we're in a good spot right now. So, yeah, I would say the adversity that we went through prior to this point has made it even sweeter. But, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
That's great. And this is a guy who's we've seen cry after a game because it hurts so bad that he loses. So for them to win 7 straight, for them to beat the Beard when he comes back here, for them to dominate. Be feeling good about. Now, I did get admonished yesterday by Tim McMahon because I pointed out I'm not welcome at his dinner party. I'm not welcome.
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He said, I'm not inviting you to my party. That's exactly what he said.
He didn't say that. By the way, he was really good. Yeah. He had a good, like, he feels like a guy who's coached ball or something.
I don't know, but I like his edge.
Yeah, he's got a little edge. It's different the Rockets are able, what you have are young players who are able to play together, and you hope to see just some type of, I don't know, man. I mean, hey, these are young guys who are, if you thought they were going to be good, they weren't going to be good.
That's on you.
That's on you. Hey, you ain't going to sell tickets. Hey. If they drafted Jalen Green to sell tickets with this team,
listen. How often,
that ain't his job, buddy.
How often does Tim McMahon say, pal? Hey, yeah. Pal, that's on you. Yeah. All right, pal? Anyway, I was admonished by Tim McMahon, and I'm fine with it, for pointing out that there is no, the future isn't on the floor. Jalen Green and KPJ, and you're winning all these games, and it's awesome that you're winning all these games, and it's a lot of fun, and actually this team looks really good, but they're coming back.
KPJ is not the future. And that's the problem. Well, they really need to be looking at moving him. Now, they don't have a point guard. Although, hopefully yesterday's an example because you had Eric Gordon get kicked out of the game. Then he got teed up. You know, they're bringing the ball up with Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's not a point guard. He's never been a point. That's not who he is. You don't have
Armani's
Kevin Porter
not
Jr.
A point guard.
Brooks isn't a point guard. Obviously, Jayshon's not. They bring in
Augustine.
DJ Augustine, who played pretty well. Yeah. He was fine. DJ Augustin can get you. He can get you some minutes. He's an aging veteran.
Who led the team in plus minus? DJ
was
Augustin.
A DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can get you some minutes. He plays smart basketball. He can keep guys under control. Kevin Porter Jr. is a wild, wild player. It's just it doesn't make sense to have that guy. When you see the teamwork that these guys are playing with, you can't have these rogue, one-on-one, bad shooting guys taking up all the possessions. Well, it's not going to work. You can't have two of them.
Well, you look at, I mean, now 23 assists. It's a nice night. It's not a great assist night, but for in the NBA today, 23 assists and 13 turnovers. Wow, we were sharing the ball. It's unbelievable. It's not great. It's good. 23 assists and 13 turnovers. Look at the Nets, 18 and 13. That's NBA today. Is we're going to just, and that's KPJ and that's Jalen Green. Give me the ball and I'm just going to go one on one, one on two, one on three, whatever it takes. I am going to go and I'm going to go one on. Okay, so that's the way. But this team seems to be playing a lot different basketball with those guys down. Listen. Jalen Green is going to come back. Jalen Green is going to be a good player. Hopefully, Jalen Green can play well with others, and they can continue to play more team-like basketball when those guys come back. We'll see. Hopefully, that will be the case because it sure is a lot more fun watching this team now than it was earlier in the year. That's not. I mean, obviously, that goes without saying when you win seven straight games. But this team is starting. It looks nice. I mean, you got a really nice piece in Matthews. You got a nice piece in Tate. You know what you got in Christian Wood. He's actually. You know, the question, it was funny during the 16-game losing streak. Was it 16 or 15 in a row, whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
And last year's 15. Yeah. The question was, you know, why is Christian Wood going to stick around? Is Christian Wood, and oh, by the way, is Christian Wood a max player guy? That's a good question. It's a very good question as to whether or not you're going to have Christian, you're going to pay Christian Wood max dollars after John Wall is done and you get rid of that deal. You've got max dollars to spend. Is Christian Wood the guy that you want to be your cornerstone? I don't know that that answer. I still don't know that answer. I don't think they
I know
do
this. It's more fun to play for a team that's winning than losing. And when I watch them,
well,
win.
Well, okay, let's say Christian Wood wants to stay. Do you want to give him max dollars?
You can afford to.
I know you. I didn't say that. Do you want to give him?
What difference does it make?
Well, because where does it because go? Is he a is he a championship type max dollar guy?
But. If you gave him max dollars, what does that prevent you from doing?
It prevents you from winning.
I understand that's not necessarily.
There's guys that are max dollar guys now that shouldn't be max dollar guys.
His value is going to be relative to what the market says it is, right? That's what your value is. Your value is what the market says. A team value can be different than a market value. The thing with the Rockets is when you look at it, you're going to spend a certain amount of money. I don't know that having Christian Wood on there, at a max dollar contract, how does it change your roster?
But change is huge. What are you talking about? You want to have max dollar guys that are actually championship type players.
Well, but who don't you? But you're not close to a championship.
Well, no. But you're. That's what you're building for
the next.
Is he going to be?
Will he prevent
a cornerstone, a piece, a big piece of a championship?
Stick with me here. Just do the math on this. I'm not you. You're saying Christian Wood's going to be the same player whether he gets paid $1 or $40 million. Who he is on the court is who he is on the court, right?
Right.
That's what he does is what he does. I think you're looking at max dollar. My argument is a little different, and I'm not necessarily arguing to give him that, but I don't think it matters if you give him that because it's not going to change the financial structure of your team.
Okay, listen to
you don't have up-and-coming Jordans.
Let's put it this way. Do you want Steph Curry as a max dollar guy or John Wall as a max dollar guy? It's a big difference.
I don't see what that has to do with this guy. He's not Steph Curry or John Wall.
It absolutely is preventing you from doing stuff with John Wall's contract. Yes, it absolutely is. And if Christian Wood is not a championship type player, why would you give him max dollars?
No. But John Wall was an oft injured player. That's not fair to compare him to Steph or John Wall. He's way in the middle of those two guys.
No. I know, but I'm saying it. Okay, but I don't want a middle of the road max dollar guy. I want a guy that's going to be.
It's not your money,
a cornerstone.
Right?
So you're a not cornerstone paying, of a championship.
I get that.
Team.
You're not. It's not your money, right?
No.
Okay. So if he spends it, look at how much Jayshon Tate makes. Jalen Green. Porter Jr., all go through the whole roster. It's not going to matter. The only guy that's taking up money is deadbeat Wall. That's the only guy that's taking up money on the on the salary. It's not going to change who you are if he gets that money. It's not. He's a core player. Now, would you want to give it to him for six, you know, for a max length too? I don't know. But what I'm telling you is that I don't think it really changes what you can do with your roster. It's just the player gets paid a certain amount of money. It doesn't come out of either one of our pockets and probably doesn't alter how they build their team out.
Well, I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly.
I don't see where the finances change.
If Christian Wood isn't a championship-type player, you can't draw other major players here and a big name and great players here to build a championship.
Why not?
The goal is to... Because if nobody wants to play with Christian Wood because he's not going to be a championship player, then...
But you've decided that. Christian Wood is a guy
But that's the question that you have to ask.
Christian Wood has his productivity is excellent. His per-touch productivity, the metrics with him are very, very good. He rebounds, he scores, he does all those things. He's got some range. Like, remember, Christian Wood doesn't, the offense doesn't run through Christian Wood either.
No.
Think that's why when you look at his per touch numbers and you realize their offense doesn't run through him, what happened if he became more of a focal point of the offense? I think you might look at him.
And that's the question.
Can he be a big three?
That's a question. Is he a championship type player? We can talk about that more on the other side, and you can get in on that. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to weigh in on that, you're more than welcome. Pat Forty's going to join us at 8:30. We got the Culture Map guys coming in. Five Star's going to give us some winners as well. Actually, NFL winners this week, so we got that going on. Right now, though, do you want winners? How about Golden Nugget? Golden Nugget in Lake Charles is an awesome place to go and get your bet on now, because you can sports gamble there with the DraftKings Sportsbook opened up and the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. And you don't have to fly to Vegas, people. I mean, you want to go to the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas? That's great. That's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Vegas is a different deal. But if you want a Vegas-style casino, hotel, golf, pool, restaurants, shopping, all of that, you got it all at one place, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. I mean, listen, when you go to the tables and you want to gamble, how about saving about, if you take two people, the flight is going to be $1,000. Now you got $1,000 more to play with if you just drive 2 hours down the road. So if you're looking for a great place to play and have a great time, wonderful casino, it's Vegas-like. It's the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, you guys want some cookies? How about going to Angleton? Yeah, I know. It seems a little far to go for some cookies, but is it far to go for cookies and thousands off of Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC's amazing deals on their trucks, their SUVs, their cars, their large SUVs versus crossover SUVs? How about cookies with Santa? This is going on this Saturday, December 11th. That's going to be out at their location in Angleton. You can stop there between 11 and 1, and they are going to have Santa Claus out there. You can bring the kids to take pictures with Santa, and they are going to have cookies. So everyone who comes out there is going to get cookies. They're going to get a goodie bag, get pictures with Santa Claus. That goes on from 11 to 1. And, you know, while you're out there, look for the best prices and the best deals you can find for the vehicles that are on the lot or headed to the lot. And that's what my friends over there, Rick Drenner and Craig DeSurf, that's what they're going to find for you when you stop at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. That's going to be this Saturday, the Cookies with Santa from 11 to 1 out at Angleton. For more information, go to LanceZCars.com.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of Rockets to talk about. Do you think that Christian Wood is a guy that you want to get max dollars to? I think that's an interesting question, and something that the team is going to have to look at after next season, whether or not that guy is going to be a cornerstone and a max dollar guy. Other news. Well, Zach Cunningham was cut yesterday. Now, it's not going to affect next year's salary cap. I've been reading Texans cap. Texans cap was adamant that there is not going to be any effect on the salary cap next year. He says this will have no effect on the 2021. Oh, no effect on the 2021 salary cap. There is potential for small cap offset for 2022 with any money Cunningham earns elsewhere. 12,832 dead money charge in 2022 as a result. 1,945,000 cap savings in 2022. So a $10 million cash savings for the team. So guess what? My goodness. They saved Cal some money. The interesting story about Zach Cunningham and his contract was who actually did it. Who actually did his contract? This was in the summer of 2020 when Bill O'Brien was still the coach here. And here's Bill O'Brien's quote on it. I think the way myself and Jack and Kevin Krakovic, what is it? Krakovic?
He's their captain.
Right. And Cal, think about this, is if a guy is playing well and is a good person and a really good person in the community, you're going to do whatever you can to try to make that guy a part of your team for a long time. A long time based on you agreeing with the representation on what the term is and all those different things.
Who determined good person, by the way? Who do you think that is? Who determined good person and good person in community? That's Jack. It's your character coach.
Absolutely. Well, but Bill O'Brien saw him every day in practice, too. And he knows what a good teammate is. And Bill O'Brien was absolutely part of that.
The fact that Bill's talking about a good person in the community, that's also a Jack thing.
And here's what else he had to say. Really, to be very, very honest with you, Jack Easterby did a lot of this negotiation. I was there. I'm coaching the football team. We have a very unique model. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. I don't mind saying it. We, Jack and I, work together. We're all in charge of different things. So relative to how a general manager's position has been defined in the past may not be exactly the way we do it, if that makes sense.
You hear that, Dustin? Dustin tried to say yesterday that radio hosts who focus on Jack Easterby, like, we don't know what Jack does, and that's just – basically, we're making him out to be some boogeyman, and we don't know, and get over it, it's over, whatever. This is the point, though, Dustin and anyone else. The reason that Jack – I've been trying to we know these things for a fact. Jack is the one who negotiated Deshaun's contract. O'Brien negotiated Laremy Tunsil's. Neither one was a good contract. I know these for a fact. This is coming directly from people with involvement or knowledge of this. This is another example. Bill O'Brien said this because he's trying to bolster the credibility of him and Jack, because he thought this was an easy win, the Zach Cunningham. So he wanted to make sure you knew that Jack did this. But in hindsight, what a damning thing to say when you look back at all the disasters of the way that they operated this team. Mm-hmm. What a disastrous deal. Immediately, he was not worth the contract. Immediately, his play was not worth the contract. This is
well. He led the league with 164 tackles.
That's not a stat that matters.
Yeah, right,
to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because they're on the field more.
Yeah. How many? I mean, are you a consistent tackler? Do you miss tackles? Are you hitting your run fits?
Are you tackling terrible. Guys down the field?
Yeah, he was terrible with run fits. You know, and making sure that you do your job. Sometimes it's about not getting a tackle, but spilling things wide and filling up. You know, fitting up into the gap. And making sure that he can't have that running back can't have that running lane. He wasn't good at that, and so I think that I think this is very important to recognize. It doesn't change anything, but that was Bill O'Brien. Good job, by the way, for the Texans Wire on USA Today. Yeah. Whoever wrote that for Mark Lane for coming up and finding that old quote, because it showed you a time when Bill thought he was big upping Jack and elevating his stature and telling you, look at us, look what we did. Yeah. And now you look back at it, holy crap, look how he put all this on.
Well, and it goes on to brag
on him.
It goes on to say, I coach and I work with. I mean, this was an homage to Jack Easterby. Yeah. This signing, and look at it, just a year later.
Keep reading that quote.
I coach and I work with Jack, and he works extremely hard with the things that he's in charge of. He oversees a lot of different things from medical to training. He works on contracts with Kevin, and we work together. It's a team. It's a team. Hopefully we can win and prove that that's the way to do it.
So
I would say that Jack and Zach's representation should get a lot of credit for getting a deal done, and obviously Zach.
It's not hard to give a guy one of the highest contracts in the league and get a deal done. Tunsil, and you got bad deals with Tunsil and a bad deal with Deshaun Watson. You got a short deal with a no trade clause. That's a disaster without getting a long term contract. You got, I mean, the deal for this wasn't a great deal for Zach Cunningham, and it was an awful deal for Tunsil because you paid well over market value. The fact that he said this is what to Dustin and everybody, this is what we're talking about. There's Bill O'Brien's words. He oversees a lot of different things from medical to training. He works on contracts. You tell me what Jack Easterby as a character coach, what he had done. I know the answer because I know what he did in Kansas City. I know what he did in New England. I know what he is, what his background is. He has no background to oversee training. He has no background to oversee medical. He has no background to be involved in contracts. And the fact that they did that is one of the reasons the Texans are where they are today. The fact that they traded away first-round picks and had no ability to replenish and restock after trading away their best players, the bad contracts they gave out. You know, the fact that they gave Deshaun a no-trade clause, he'd be gone by now, except that he has a no-trade clause. Or he would have been gone or much earlier than this. So this is what happens. This is why we clown Cal, because he let this happen. This is why a lot of us in the media are so, we want to make sure you understand this didn't need to happen. And you know what? I'll tell you what Bill O'Brien told a coach who was on the staff, because this coach told my dad that he said that. I told my dad, yeah, Bill O'Brien got all pissed at me, you know, called because he thought I was being mad at this media gathering. And I told my dad on the phone, O'Brien calls me at my house. Hey, what are you so mad about? You know, does that whole thing. And my dad was talking to a coach on the staff, and the coach said, well, he goes, yeah, you know, I think, you know, O'Brien thinks your son, blah, 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 is on the Texans. I said, no, I think and my dad told him, no, he just has a problem with Bill O'Brien as a general manager. He doesn't think he's a good, he thinks these moves that he's making are going to hurt the team. He goes, well, but Larry, here's the thing. If this thing works out, and we think it's going to, this is the way that it really should be. The coach should be in charge of making all these moves with whoever he goes. This is a new way of doing things, and this is probably going to be, if we succeed, this is the way that it should be. And I'm thinking, this fundamentally flawed logic. You don't let the guy coaching make all the moves because he's only going to make selfish moves to save himself. He's not going to make moves that are always in the best interest of the team. And especially a guy like Bill O'Brien, who's very selfish, he's going to make moves that are in the best interest of Bill O'Brien, which is making sure I get what I want now. I want my presents now. Can you wait? Listen, I want you to wait. We're going to open presents the 24th or the 25th. I want to open it right now, December 3rd. No. We don't open presents this fast. Give it to me now. Now. If you wait until we get home, I'll give you some special loving. Do it in a car. What?
Even more than that, and I've heard behind the scenes as well from people that were there, Jack Easterby is just as culpable.
Yes.
Just as culpable for this mess that this organization is in. Bill O'Brien took it. Brian Gain took it. Chris Olsen took it. There are so many guys that had to beat it. You guys are out of here. You guys are not the right fit. You guys... And Jack Easterby is a guy who remains, and yet this is proof, living proof right here in Bill O'Brien's words, that Jack Easterby is just as culpable and should be and should have the same fate as those guys.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts on this, you're more than welcome.
That's why we still
talk about it is right. Hey, guys, this Christmas, give her the next best thing to wear and nothing at all. With soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin, even more alluring than lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas so seductive, you'll both love them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of a naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. In a year filled with the unexpected, get her something she can count on. But you need to order today. Here's what you do. You go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas. And you tell them John Granato sent you.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hey, guys, let's talk about my my friends at Maestro Dobel. They're good friends, really good friends, because they make a great tequila. And if you have a great spirit, you're going to be a friend of mine. I can tell you that much. And Maestro Dobel is now my personal favorite. Well, I've had a few that I really like, but, you know, I just love the smooth flavor of the añejo. It is really terrific in there. Extra añejo is just even more over the top. And then they've got this bottle. It's a more expensive bottle. It looks amazing. If you like really high-end spirits, their Cristalino version of their extra añejo is something like I've never tasted before. And I've had some high-end tequilas before just to see what the, you know, what it tasted like in small shots. I'm telling you, from a sipping standpoint, it's outstanding. If you want to find some for cocktails, I strongly recommend their silver or their Cristalino, which is the Diamante, or even their smoked silver called the Humito. What I'm telling you is that no matter what type of variety of tequila you like, the 11 generations of tequila makers with Maestro Dobel do it better than anybody. Go find them at your local liquor store and enjoy the flavors of Maestro Dobel.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 days of giving. On the fourth day, we'd like to give back to the Southeast Texas Food Bank, whose goal is to eliminate hunger and inadequate nutrition in Southeast Texas. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. David Gao is going to match up to $500. ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to the Southeast Texas Food Bank. Now, I think it's the Houston Food Bank that gets all the money. Southeast Texas Food Bank needs money, people. Okay? So let's go. Let's give to the Southeast Texas Food Bank today. And let's get that up there for those people. That's a great cause, feeding people who don't have food this holiday season. That's just wonderful. So we love it. Just doing some good stuff. We've been raising money. You all have been doing a great job. We've absolutely been making a difference here. So keep that up. That is great stuff. We really appreciate y'all donating. So if you can, go to ESPN975.com/12days and give something today.
Listen to this. I mean, I'm not going to stand this, but he's not the character coach. He's the VP of football ops. Whether he has the background or not, that's his job. Better accept it now. He's not going anywhere until either Cal sells the team or dies. I don't care, Jay. I don't care. If I better just lay back and take it. Better just enjoy
it. Oh, wow.
Come on, Jay. Be better than that.
Come on, Bobby
You're
Knight.
In this spot. You're in this spot. Well, that's why I'm making the reference to that's so stupid. Just better just take it. Just better to just accept it. No. You're in this spot. Do you not understand? This is the worst. Jay, do you not understand? You got a Texans in your logo. Of course, it's a hand slapping, like a face palm of the Texans logo, which I respect.
Oh.
But if you're obviously a Texans fan, it has never been this bad. It hasn't been this bad in this city.
And there's a reason for it.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it. And this guy's directly, but you're just like, well, there's nothing you can do. I don't care. I'm going to make sure that when he needs to wear this, that he wears this, because this is the same idiot that got you in the spot, and he's still in there making deals. He's still in there negotiating. So he's still in there doing stupid stuff. Stupid people doing – incompetent people doing incompetent stuff cannot be tolerated. I'm telling you, as long as I live in the city of Houston, I want my teams to build for success and be champions. And I'm telling you this now. I'm just not going to tolerate – you can tolerate incompetence. I'm not going to. I'm not ever going to the day that I'm going to tolerate incompetence is the day I shouldn't be on this radio, and I should not be speaking for any other fans. I shouldn't be a voice for anybody. You cannot accept incompetence and expect to have the results you're looking for. And this guy's incompetence, along with OB's, OB's gone. Somehow he got a raise. Somehow Jack's not only not gone, he became more powerful in this. He didn't become more powerful, but he negotiated which is a complete conflict of interest, the GM's contract.
Yeah, he not only negotiated, he basically hired him. He
fundamentally altered the process.
Yes.
He stuck his nose. Do you not understand, Jay? This is a guy who can alter any process he wants through ownership.
As high as the general manager's office.
He has a direct line above the general manager. Yes. That's the reality is, if it got into a knife fight between Jack and Nick Caserio, I think Caserio would win. But I'm telling you now, Jack holds a very special place in the owner and the owner's wife's heart because he's personally helped counsel them through difficult times. So they, hey, that's great. There's a place for that. But it ain't anywhere near football operations, and you can't let incompetent people have a seat at the table. They had this. This is the Peter principle. You cannot let him rise above the level where his level is passing out scripture and yay, rah, 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 fellowship of Christian athlete stuff. That's what he does. That's who he is. The rest of it, beat it. You saw him ruin a team, and for you guys to just sit there and, well, we'll just sit back and take it. This is just the way it goes. Just let him sit there. It's not going to change. I don't care if it's not going to change. I'm going to call for change. I'm going to continue to call for change because this is not who you have in your clique of winning management. It's not in basketball. It's not in baseball. And it's definitely not in football. So, Jay, you can just roll with it and just like, I don't care. I do care. I don't want incompetent people because incompetent people make it harder for competent people to do their jobs, especially when the incompetent person literally can trick the owner at a moment's notice. I don't want that guy who's got a chance to get his fingers on the button and blow everything up like he already did. You can't nuke a team twice. You can't let a guy nuke a team twice.
No.
And he has that opportunity. He has that ability.
Shout out to the fish.
Dork.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I mean, another Jack Easterby segment. When we come back, let's do Aiden Hutchinson. How about that segment? Let's do that when we come back. Aiden Hutchinson was here yesterday, and actually, I don't know how many times I have seen his quote that was on the Wheelhouse yesterday, on Twitter today. How often people have said, and they're using it as arguments for the Houston Texans. It's ironic. It's a bit ironic, but they're using Aiden Hutchinson as an argument for what's going on here with the Houston Texans. So we will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford, man. I got to tell you, I'm serious. I've never been this excited about a car dealership because I know the people there. I know the philosophy there. I know the integrity there. I know that the value of what you are getting there is going to be there for you. The service is going to be there. Everything about this is going to be where you're going to find your best deal on that Ford car or truck. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, you got to order it now because for the most part, you know how difficult it is to get the new cars in there, but they're getting them in there. Listen, Chastain is getting them. They love Chastain here in the city of Houston, so they're getting them quick. But here's the deal is you get to customize. Because of this, you get to customize exactly what you want. You don't have to take the package that Ford put on that car or truck. So you get to customize it exactly how you want it. And trust me, they will never say, why don't you take this? Why don't you do this? Why don't we add this on? Ever, ever, ever at Chastain Ford, because that's the way they do it and been doing it forever at Chastain Ford. It's at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to talk about this situation with Easterby, if you want to talk about Christian Wood, if you want to talk about our Rockets winning their seventh straight, beating the Beard. What a nice night it was last night. Saw a video of a kid that was just, it looked like he was trying to get into a fight. He had Nets gear on, and he looked like he was about 80 pounds, and he's all pissed off at Rockets, man. And this kid would have, if it wasn't for the city, if this was in Philadelphia, if this was in L.A., this kid would be dead today. He would be dead.
If he was at a Dodger game pulling that, they would have literally beaten and stabbed him to death. Just right there in the outfield stands.
And then they would have said, hey, beer, and put their feet up on
him. Poured a beer on him and then thrown him onto the field.
Right.
Come on.
Come on, kid. Don't.
If this were a 49er game, he would have literally been smashed into a toilet stall.
No. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing that it was here in Houston. That's all I'm saying. You know who else was here in Houston yesterday for the Lombardi Awards? Was Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson he's going to be the number one overall pick. And there's a good chance the Texans will have the number one overall pick. Aiden Hutchinson is not opposed to that, which is shocking, but true. Aiden Hutchinson's dad went to school here. Where'd he go? He went to Side Creek here and moved to Michigan for some reason. I don't know why anyone would leave Houston to go to Michigan, but he went to play. Oh, he went to play for the Lions? He played at Michigan. His dad played at Michigan. I didn't know that. His dad played at Michigan and then just stayed up there, I guess. Aiden grew up, but they still got family here. And here's what Aiden Hutchinson said, or here was the question posed by the Wheelhouse guys yesterday to Aiden Hutchinson.
All right, I have to ask you, man. You're in Houston right now. What do you think of this place? There are a lot of Texans fans who wouldn't mind hearing your name called on draft day. What do you think of the city so far, man? Could you find this place your home once you take your talents to the next level?
Yeah, you know, I got off the airplane and it felt right. I can't lie to you. You know, just the air, the atmosphere, the vibes. You know, Houston's a good place to be. And, you know, if they draft me, I'd love to play for the Texans.
So there it is. The Lombardi Award winner for 2021 says, yeah, I will play for the Texans. All right, the Texans are sitting there at number one. Aiden Hutchinson is obviously the whole draft board is there. Do you take Aiden Hutchinson?
Probably not.
Or do you trade down?
No, I got to look at him. I got to study him. Now, I watched him against Nicholas Pettit-Freer, the left tackle from a lot of times he played on the right side, Hutchinson did, but I watched him against Ohio State. I watched that game. And, man, he's really strong. He understands how to use his hands well. I remember watching J.J. Watt coming out of college, and he wasn't the J.J. Watt we saw from I remember talking to J.J. about this. J.J. was always a big, strong guy. The difference was J.J., I said, how did it just click in the middle of the first year? He goes, you know what? I started to realize that I was stronger than the guys across from me. He said, I knew I was talented enough to do certain things, but when you start realizing you can impose your will against the other guy, then you start finding ways to set them up so that you can impose your will. And he said, I just learned how to rush the passer better, use my hands better, and start imposing my will. He's already doing that. Like, Aiden Hutchinson's already doing some of that stuff. So, you know, maybe you do draft a guy like this, especially if he's a character guy. The difference is, though, John, if you think Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral or any of these quarterbacks, although those would be the only two that I would think you'd consider, if you think they're the real deal, you got to pick a quarterback. I mean,
I don't know.
You almost have to.
Well, here's the deal is, okay.
If you think they're the real deal.
So, okay. Wait a minute. So you would pass on I think you should. Okay, so the Killer Bees had a really good conversation the other day, and you pointed out so many. They were looking at past drafts and who traded down and then won. One of the things that they didn't do so much was all the good players that were passed up early in the draft that actually were good players. But they looked at like the Colts trading down and getting Quentin Nelson at number six. That worked out. It couldn't have been better.
Did the Colts trade back on that?
Yeah, they were third, I think, and they traded back to six, and then they got Quentin Nelson.
Day of the draft, but they did it beforehand.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be. But there were plenty of instances that where stuff like that happened. There's also, like, the Cleveland Browns. You know, how many times did they trade back and actually just not draft good football players? They just kept on passing and not drafting good football players. Now, the Texans have so many issues. They have so many places where they need good football players. I could certainly see. Here's the thing, though. Is somebody so enamored with Aiden Hutchinson? Is somebody so enamored with the top quarterback? If it was Trevor Lawrence last year, what would you get for Trevor Lawrence if you were the Jacksonville Jaguars? You're dumb because you wanted you. Well, he's right there, exactly what you need. So you don't trade out of there. But if you got the second pick or the third pick, because there's a possibility the Texans could be there too, what is the value of that pick? You have to look at that. Not only do I need a lot of good football players, but is there somebody that somebody is there a player there that somebody has to have? Because otherwise, you know, I'm not giving up two firsts for the number two overall pick unless it's somebody that's worth two firsts.
So if Kenny, okay, so
and let's is say, Kenny Pickett that so guy, let's say or is Kayvon Thibodeau that
let's
guy?
Let's say Kenny. I'll have what I think are the answers later on, but I got to get through them. But I'm going to do deep dives on both guys, and I'll have a strong opinion at some point here. Same thing with Kenny Pickett. But let's just for a second operate as though Kenny Pickett. Let's see. I'm just going to use Kenny Pickett and not Matt Corral. Hopefully,
Dusty's already. Dusty's already.
But let's say it's Kenny Pickett who goes first to the Lions in this scenario. And let's say the Texans are drafting second. I'd run a card up for either Thibodeau or Aiden. Probably Aiden based on what I've seen. But I'd run the card up. Let's say they because it's kind of a no-brainer.
But suppose somebody would give you two ones for that. Would you take it?
Well, now this is what I was going to say.
Aiden, and where are the ones?
Aiden Hutchinson, you wouldn't get two ones, you would get two ones,
yeah.
meaning you flip-flop ones. Right. That's why I don't like saying they give you two ones. You flip-flop with, like, number five, and you get their first next year. Here's why I would not. It depends on how deep the board is. I might. Evan Neal, you know, if you think that Evan Neal it's an offensive tackle, you need that too. You need so many players, but if you think Aiden Hutchinson is a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher, high character, works his ass off. There's a lot of things. J.J. Watt brought a lot to this organization well beyond what was on the field. Rare stuff in terms of community involvement. Very rare. Very rare. Aiden Hutchinson is a football player. You know, not only do you get a pass rusher, which has more value than a left tackle, even though left tackles are valuable, if you get a pass rush, it goes in order like this: quarterback, pass rush, left tackle, cornerback is up for debate on, you know, what your viewpoint is. Those are the most important. And when I say pass rush, it's either defensive end or interior defensive lineman. But it goes quarterback one, and then pass rush, either defensive end or defensive tackle is number two, is a clear number two. And then it goes to offensive, you know, a left tackle and a cornerback, lockdown corner. That's the prioritized value of those positions. If you have Aiden Hutchinson, you want to get too cute. Like, I understand the game. You want to be the guy that passed on J.J. Watt or traded out of a Nick Bosa spot or all that.
The 10 people passed on J.J.
Watt.
You know,
and they regret it.
Yeah.
And so that's my point is, do you want to see a guy who becomes this 14 sack per year player at a high position who's a high character, hardworking guy? You don't want to be that because you're trying to get too cute. I understand what you're saying, and I would definitely consider the offer. Because if you can move back three or four spots, still get a guy that you think is a plus player, and you're getting ones from Deshaun Watson, and you're getting ones from that trade back, like you can potentially build your team back quickly.
Hurry. Yeah. With good but young you players have, that are on the cheap.
Yeah.
Well, they're first round money, but they're still, relatively speaking, if they're you know plus
why,
players.
You know why Ballard ultimately drafted Quentin Nelson instead of Roquan Smith? Because Quentin Nelson not only, because he's a guard, because Quentin Nelson is a culture changer. Quentin Nelson, I showed you that thing that he drew up. I sent John he loves football more than probably anybody that I've ever even been, that I've ever known about in football. And what he brings to the locker room, what he brings to the field, he's the first one to help a running back up. After every single run, the guy sprints over, helps his running back. He's helped change the culture. And what Ballard tried to do was change the culture of the Colts. What Nick Caserio is trying to do is change the culture of the Texans. And if Aiden Hutchinson is a culture changer, then you know, it's hard to get too cute if you know a guy can rush the passer, position of high priority, and is a culture changer. That's why that would be tough to do. Now, if Aiden Hutchinson went first, and then you're sitting there looking at Kenny Pickett, Kayvon Thibodeau, or trading out, you know, you're going to consider trade there too. That's a trade, you know. Number two is the position where a lot of people look to trade out of. That's been historically the RG3 trade.
Unless the Lions go Aiden Hutchinson and that premier quarterback is sitting there.
Yeah, and then you have to, you know, it depends on what your grade is on the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, do you think this guy's a guy? Or maybe just roll with Davis Mills. There's still a lot of development.
Oh, yeah, that's no.
Still a lot of development there.
Oh, no, it looks
you could
great.
Still, he could still, you could still end up getting a great quarterback on a third round contract. I mean, you know.
No, nothing says.
You know, fingers crossed, but Davis Mills could end up having an amazing camp next year really turn into that special player that the Texans hoped for when they took him with the first pick of the third round or whatever.
It's going to be awesome. No. It's going to be, full steam ahead with Dave behind
or
Davis Mills.
Or you just bring back both quarterbacks and you just say, okay, we're going to try this again.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod and Mills.
But now
we're going to get better blocking for him. And
looks
now maybe an extra year in Tim Kelly's system will have you a little more juice.
Yep. All right, good. No, that's all. Let's go. I mean, I'm all for that.
You draft your lover boy Pickett. I actually like Matt Corral, but I like Pickett too. But I haven't studied them both close enough. But I think Matt Corral's got a chance to be a good quarterback. Jets would have the fourth and ninth picks of the draft. Giants would have the fifth and sixth picks, and Eagles would have the 10th and 14th at the draft for tomorrow. Do any of them need a defensive end? I have to take a look at all of those, but yeah, I mean. You take really good defensive ends. Everyone has a need for that.
You think they'd give up 4 and 9 for, well, maybe one overall, maybe.
Yeah, they're giving you a 9, basically. You're flipping. You're going backwards.
Yeah, I know, but 4, you're still getting a really good player.
And 9,
you're still getting.
4 and 9 is, golly, boy, that's, you get a 4 and a 9. And really, realistically.
That would be
realistically,
awesome.
Realistically, you might even get one more pick on top of it.
Yeah.
To go from 4 to 2. I don't know. 9's pretty good. Maybe they throw you a 3 also. Boy, it's just. And then all of a sudden, if this guy has 15 sacks as a rookie, and you're like, oh my God, we trade.
No, but you're going to get, like you said, you get an Evan or you get a. I mean,
they have to be really good too.
Yes.
You can't trade a really good player unless you get a really good player.
You got to trust your evaluation then.
Okay.
That there's four good players.
Yeah, ultimately. Say what you want about Rick. I don't think Rick was the best GM. But what Rick did a good job of doing is recognizing first-round talent.
Yep.
He didn't miss on that whole lot.
No, he didn't.
Rick, you know, Whitney Mercilus ended up being a pretty good player. He became kind of joked about, but Whitney, go look at Whitney's numbers. Yeah. Whitney became a pretty good player. DeAndre Hopkins was a great player. JJ, great player. There's arguments about was Wade Phillips responsible, but ultimately he was the GM. Rick was. Do you like who are the other guys that he had?
Well, we'll talk. We got that. We got more. We got people want to get in here on the other side. We'll do that as well. So we got a lot of stuff still to do here on the show. Just getting it. Actually, we're only 1 hour in. So 713-780-3776. Anything that we've touched on so far, you're more than welcome to get in here with us. Right now, I'm talking about cold, clean, and crisp, delicious Coors Light. It just doesn't get any better. Do you think I had any yesterday after we had a round of golf? Yes, of course I did. Well, I mean, that's what happens. You're going to throw down a couple of Coors Lights afterwards. And listen, there was somebody, you know, I don't support anarchy, but there was a guy who said this. Prosecutors say he drank a beer while storming the U.S. Capitol and filmed a video where he said, I don't always storm the capital of the United States of America, but when I do, I prefer Coors Light. I mean, it's the official beer of storming the capital. Listen, it's the official beer of whatever you do. I mean, I'm not abdicating anarchy, but here's the deal. If you're looking for a great way to enjoy whatever you're doing, I don't care. Yeah, you might be breaking the law. You might go to prison, whatever. If you're going to do that, you might as well have a nice, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Make it the official beer of whatever you do, even stuff like that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.